Welcome to Chicken Pop Podcast. I'm James. I've got my co-host Bond. Bonsai. What the hell are you doing with your name now?
Oh man. Half the people call me Bond, the other half call me Bonsai, so whatever.
Well, this is the Pick and Pop. We are the new two-man version of the Baseline, TSO's own podcast, TSO's Baseline podcast, if I do say so myself. And let's get into it right away here. We are in mid-January of the Baseline, and teams are starting to shape up pretty nicely. Let's talk about some teams that are taking us off guard. My thing right now, I mean, we know the Bulls are good, but did you know, Bond, that the CPU Bulls are 15-3 against users right now?
Yeah, and 19-6 overall. They won their last four games. They're good in this game.
Yeah, I mean, D Rose is averaging just under 19 a game with about 5.8 assists a game and just tearing it up. And Rip Hamilton's doing a nice job himself, but also two CPU teams out west to take note of, the Clippers and the Nuggets. The Nuggets, now we know they can score, but you'd think with their inability to play any defense that us users would be able to exploit that, but CPU Nuggets doing a bang up job. How do you explain that one?
Well, when I played him, it was all Danilo Gallinari. He lit me up. He had over 30 points, mostly from three. I couldn't do anything to stop him.
Yeah, that Italian, man, he is something else. And let's talk about some of the league leaders right now. And how about the users just dominating the scoring front? Look at LeBron James coming in with 31.5, Kobe with 28.2, Kevin Durant with 27.4, Melo flipping those numbers around a little bit with 24.7, and BDS's Paul Pierce coming in at 24.4. How do you figure with these guys? I mean, superstars being superstars, right?
Yeah, I mean, you name those guys, and a lot of those guys are in real life up at the top of the list, so they're kind of just, you know, going with the flow. The only real surprise is John Wall is so high at 23 points a game, but he's pretty lethal in this game, so I can understand that.
Definitely. And now let's toot our own horns a little bit here. Let me start off, and I don't know if you know this, Bond, but Cleveland Cavaliers are leading the NBA in three-point percentage right now in the Baseline, and I'm feeling all right about my three-point game, but overall, I hate to say it, man, but we may be playing for top-five status coming up here soon. I mean top-five draft status. How are you feeling about your team?
I'm doing all right. I'm 14-12 right now, so I think I'm about I'm fifth in the East right now, and kind of catching my stride now, so it's looking pretty good. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a playoff spot, so it's just a matter of where I can end up. Dwight Howard's doing pretty well. I'm getting a lot of points with him, and it's just a matter of if the threes fall or not, because when they don't, that's when I get my losses. Live by the three, die by the three.
And that has been how the Magic have seemed to piece together their game plan in real life for years now, pretty much ever since Stan Van Gundy took the team and built it around a bunch of three-point shooters. That way, in case you crowd Dwight, just kick it out from the big man out to the perimeter with guys like Ryan Anderson, J.J. Redick, Jameer Nelson. Speaking of Ryan Anderson, he's having a tear-up season in real life. How are you doing with him in the Baseline?
Pretty good, and he's not leading the team in scoring like he is in real life, but he's doing well. I've got him coming off the bench as a sixth man, and brings a little energy. He scores some points, gets some open looks. He's not quite as good. You know, they didn't rate him. Obviously, the developers didn't know he'd be having this kind of season. He's not rated as good as he is in real life, but I did just re-sign him for 3 years, $10 million, so he got a nice little raise. But he's definitely going to be one of the pieces long term.
Speaking of contract extensions and re-signing, now, funny that you mentioned Ryan Anderson first. You brought back Dwight Howard. He's a Magic for life now, practically. How's that got to feel?
Well, spending $121 million is kind of scary, but he's going to be here, so I hope he likes it.
Now, We also saw, Brian Westbrook, or not Brian, Russell. I'm thinking football. I got football on the brain. We got Russell Westbrook here bringing in less than a max deal. Our boy Mike E, the Thunder's user, he's got to be thrilled about that. He's now got, not that he needed any more cash, but more cash to throw out at Kevin Durant. The Thunder were already a team that was blessed with salary cap room. Things just don't get any sweeter for them, do they?
I mean, yeah, he brought him in for 6 years, $101 million, so, you know, $20 million less than what I had to sign Dwight for. So he's going to have a little room to play with, as well as keeping his guys around. And I don't know if you noticed yet, but the Knicks re-signed Baron Davis for $473,000 for 1 year.
And that is a flat-out steal. Baron Davis can still play. The only thing Blaza, the only thing he might have to worry about is your anywhere, honestly, from a 6 to 8 point regression in the offseason with older guys. It's happened with guards. It's happened with big men. Hopefully he doesn't fall victim to that plague. But let's get into some of these crazy trades that have been going on. We'll tackle the CPU one first. But how do you feel about that? Kevin Love, J.J. Barea for Tyrus Thomas and Bismack Biyombo trade. That had to be the biggest laugher so far we've seen.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I had even forgotten about it, too, when I started to play the Bobcats. And I see Kevin Love in the starting lineup, and I was like, what? And then the Hornets traded Chris Kame into the Rockets for Marcus Morris and Hasheem Thabeet before poor Goose had a chance to join the league as the Hornets. So he got there not knowing he didn't have Kame. But that one was a little lopsided, too, because Thabeet just doesn't really – I think he's a 50 overall, maybe.
He's a 50 overall, but he's one of those specialist type players that Blaza. Gosh, I gotta learn. But Blaza is always talking about that you gotta have a few of those specialist guys, and he's a pure shot blocker. That's hard to come by in this year's game. I mean, you got the likes of Dwight Howard and Bueller. You know, there's just not many guys out there in this video game outside of Dwight Howard that are pure shot blockers. But let's get into the biggest user trade probably thus far, and that was Bucks. Well, now he's Bucks, but formerly Bucks fan, somehow managing to pull off reuniting the Gasol brothers by the Lakers robbing the Memphis Grizzlies again. That trade has got to make the Lakers a better team right off the bat.
It does. They, you know, both Gasols, obviously, they've been playing together their whole lives, but over in Spain. But the Grizzlies did get Andrew Bynum, and he's pretty beastly. The only thing is, the Grizzlies had to give up that first round pick, so we'll see how that plays out. The pick may not be that good, but we'll see.
Well, if the season ends right now. I know we're told not to say this ever in media, but if the season is right now, the Grizz are currently 11th in the West, so that's a lottery pick right now. So the Lakers are looking pretty sweet in that end of the deal. But you know what, Bond? We just blazed through that segment like Blaza blazes. But we're going to be right back coming out here in the Pick and Pop. We're going to preview some NBA action. As you know, we like to alternate segments here, so we'll be right back with some of your NBA news and updates.
Probably already know how to manage your money, and that's great, but do you know how to massage your money? How in the poop are you anyway? I'm Walter Wintz, creator of the Money Massage System. By using my proven system, I've been helping people just like you become financially limber.
Since I started using Money Massage, my money is actually more pliable.
I started using the system and, you know, I haven't actually measured my money, but it does look bigger.
Are you upside down and backwards in a mortgage? The Money Massage System is here to help.
My friends used to come to me for financial advice, and now they come to me to cry on my shoulder, and I will give them a dollar to blow their nose on.
Don't wait another minute. Call today and start your path to financial fluffiness.
Jeans skinny, like Squidward. Looking for your girl, just missed it. Then my cat daddy and I took it down. Timber.
When it's cold, mama call a winner. Swisher full of nuggets, daddy call it dinner. Baby got ass, shelty call it thinner.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Cat Daddy. In case you didn't know, that is the Rejects on that recording track right there. And I'm in Alaska, in case a lot of you didn't know. That is my hometown. Well, I wasn't born here, but it's where I reside, where I went to high school, and they actually were performing at my high school last week. And if you haven't seen the videos on YouTube, which none of you probably know about, but YouTube, The Rejects Bartlett, and you will see that Bartlett also, speaking of, is the high school in which Mario Chalmers went to. He was class of 05, I was class of 06, but speaking of the NBA, let's jump right into it. This is Pick and Pop Baselines. TSO, it's their podcast, and let's just, Bon, we should probably do some legal house cleaning here. We don't mean to copyright infringe any of these recording artists. We just mean to get out the good word of their quality tracks, or somewhat okay tracks in the term of the Rejects. But anyway, I've digressed.
Sharing a love.
First 3 weeks of the season are in the books for the shortened or lockout shortened NBA season. And like the CPU Bulls in the baseline, the Bulls are ridiculously good, and so are the Oklahoma City Thunder. But let's jump into the Bulls a little bit here. They're doing this without Rip for most of the season. When I say Rip, I mean Richard Hamilton, and two games without Derrick Rose. What is up with this team? Are they really that well built compared to last year's team?
Sure. I mean, they're on a tear. They did lose today without Rose to Memphis. Actually, lost pretty big, but... I think if Rose were to be out long term, I think it would be a problem. But they seem to have enough to sustain kind of a short absence by Rose. And but when he's in there, I mean, obviously he's just amazing.
Definitely. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, everybody predicted this. I mean, a lot of people actually have Oklahoma City going to, some even winning the finals. So that's no surprise to anybody there. But how about the Miami Heat, currently on a 3-game losing streak? And, you know, I'm a Heat hater, so I love it. But it looks like they're reverting back to their old ways from last year and not going into the paint and, you know, dominating, which they should. They've got three of the best players in the paint if they choose to be those players, and LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. These last three games, they haven't done that. I mean, are you seeing the same thing I am here?
Yeah, I don't know. In the beginning, they came out and, you know, they were on fire. Everyone was on this Norris Cole train. And then they kind of settled down. They went 8-1, so, you know, that was – amazing. They've lost three straight. They're still 8-4. With all the problems they had last year, they still made the finals. So, you know, they'll be fine. They just need to, you know, settle down and get back to what they were doing in the first 9 games, and they'll be all right. Bosh almost seems to have been taken out of the equation a little bit the last couple games, but they need to get him a little bit more involved, I think.
Well, what point guard, you mentioned Norris Cole, and I've mentioned Chalmers, what point guard ultimately makes them a better team on the court? Is it the spot-up, hard-nosed defense of Chalmers, or is it someone who's willing to go in the paint when those three aren't in Norris Cole?
In a perfect world, it'd be Chalmers, because the other guys would be doing that work going into the paint. But, I mean, if they're not going to, then maybe it does need to be Cole. It's just a matter of what those guys are going to do to which point guard will facilitate their needs better.
Definitely. And speaking of facilitating needs, no one needs to facilitate Kobe Bryant's needs. He does it by his goddamn self. Dude is on a scoring tear, 40-plus points, 3 straight games now, including one against my Cavaliers. What the hell's up with Kobe? I thought he was hurt.
Hey, you know, he went to, where'd he go, Germany or somewhere, and now they're advertising all this knee surgery. Hope Solo, Kanye West are all on the Kobe train. I don't know. He looks like he's 25 again, but yeah, with this season, we'll see if he can keep it up. But they're going to need more than him to just score 40 all the time. They need, you know, Bynum and Gasol need to get in there too, along with their other role players. But, you know, right now he's just – I haven't seen anything like this from him in a little while.
Yeah, and it's the lift. It's not necessarily him dribbling around shooting. It's the lift that he's gotten in his legs, and he's back to the high riser he was, like you said, about 10 years ago. But let's jump into a rookie right now who better than advertised, I'm going to say. You might say average. Maybe you followed him a little bit more out in Spain. But Ricky Rubio, this dude's a stud. He can pass the ball between the tightest of fences. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I wish he was on my team. I'll watch Minnesota games now just to see him. He's a Spanish Steve Nash. He's fun to watch.
He doesn't have Steve Nash's shooting ability, but if he tunes his jumper, like we've seen a lot of point guards who aren't known for shooting doing in this lockout offseason that we had. I mean, we got Rondo shooting the ball somewhat effectively now. Ramon Sessions of the Cavs somehow learned how to shoot the three. A jumper can come into somebody's game. Hell, LeBron James has improved his jumper over the years. It can happen. Rubio's going to be a dangerous player by the time this is all said and done. Now, we mentioned our favorite teams, we happen to be our favorite teams in the baseline, but let's talk about our real-life favorite teams, how they're doing with the Cavs and Magic. I'm going to let you start off with this one. How are you feeling about the Magic so far?
Real good right now. 9-3, they've won 4 straight. Things are clicking. They beat the Knicks today without, Dwight only, I think he only had like 8 points and 7 rebounds or something like that. And we've already talked about the 30 points they got from Ryan Anderson. So if they can beat playoff teams without Dwight dominating, that only helps matters now. Once the trade deadline comes, and if he's, Dwight's somewhere else, depending on what we get back for him, it may be a different story. But right now, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, and the Cavs are looking good too. They're 6-6 right now, and they've really been competitive of most of their games. Oddly enough, the team they haven't been competitive against were their 2 matchups with the Raptors. Outside of that, this team has done very well. They're even competitive against the Lakers. They feel they can be competitive against almost anyone in the league. But to be honest, as a fan, I'm kind of scared. I don't want this team believing that they can contend, because this team really is a first-round exit at best. I want them to miss the playoffs, get a lottery pick, especially in this deep draft where their needs are heavy in this draft, with them needing a wing player and someone like a Kidd Gilchrist or either of the Joneses, Perry or Terrence Jones. I mean, there's a lot of good quality wing players out there for the taking for the Cavs, and I kind of don't want them to win to make it to the playoffs. But how about Kyrie Irving? Rookie of the year already, right? I mean, just give him the award.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking good. But, Rubio may come in and try to have part of that too. But Kyrie's looking real good. The only problem your Cavs not making the playoffs is there's some pretty crappy teams in the East that aren't doing anything right now. Cleveland's number 7 if the season ended today. And who would have thought they'd be ahead of New York, which was number 8 right now. So it's an interesting season so far.
Very much so. And with this interesting season, we've already seen some blockbuster games. The best game you've seen thus far, Bond, go ahead and tell me about it.
Mine's a homer pick. Orlando out in Portland was the most exciting game I've watched. They were out there last week, had a 15 to 20 point lead, and Portland made a run to come back, and Orlando was barely able to hold them off. And so, that one was kind of keeping me on the edge of my seat. And then actually the same night, that was a West Coast game, so I was already up late watching that. And then the same night, the Heat and Clipper game was on, so they had me up till probably 1:30, and I couldn't even get into the overtime. I had to pass out so I could go to work. But those two games in the same night were actually two really exciting games.
And the Clips Heat get my award for best game of the early season thus far. And real quickly here, we only got a little bit of time, but I want to give me like 1 or 2 names, if you've got them, of who we'll maybe see on new teams come March trade deadline. I've got 2 Cavs, actually, Anderson Varejão and Antoine Jameson. I think the Cavs need to trade these two to get – I mean, Jameson's a $15 million expiring contract. He's got trade value. And Varejão is still one of the elite offensive rebounders in the game, so can't these guys have a lot of value, so you've got to cash in on that. You got any guys that you think are trading jerseys by the time March comes?
Yeah, those are 2 good ones. I think Dwight Howard kind of holds he's going to be the first domino. If he goes somewhere, then teams, once people know where he's at and what teams got him, then the other teams will kind of fall in line and start getting their pieces. So, but I don't know if he never does go anywhere by the trade deadline, but I don't know, people are going to be scrambling at the last minute trying to get deals done. But these expiring contracts are going to go. Varejão is going to be a very valuable piece, I think, because some contender is going to need a big man to help take them into the playoffs.
Definitely, I agree with you there. And that was our only one segment of NBA action this week. So that was our NBA action for this week. And we're going to come back after this break with more Baseline Talk. I'm JFace907. That's Blonzai. This is the Pick and Pop.
In this day and age, business is governed by consolidation. Fill your gas tank, get a car wash. Go to a bar, see a concert. Get a coffee, see some booze. On another note, have you ever come back from a hunting trip with a little bit more than you asked for? Well, my name is Bob, and I'm here to tell you about my business. Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services. Here at Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services, we live by our motto, no fetus will beat us. Pheasant, elk, bobcat, Siamese twins, we do them all. Mention this ad for a 10% discount, and remember, Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services. That way the bitch can keep the kid.
Back here on the Pick and Pop, where our job is to keep the conversation live. Bonzai, it's time to jump in, well, back in to the bond, or to the baseline here on the Pick and Pop. We're going to do our own little, actually we're going to debut two segments here. First one's going to be our power rankings. And with the power rankings, I'm going to have you start this off, since it's our debut segment. We'll have the co-host get us jumped here. So start off with number 1 through 5. Actually, let's go reverse order. So what we got? 14 right. Teams. So 14 through 9.
All right. Well, the last place team, and it's almost unfair, but I'm going to go with the Hornets. Tim Goose, he joined in late, but the Hornets are 5-20, 0-5 in their last 5 games. But they are improving, as they gave the Blazers and the Knicks a run today. But they're getting there. So they're on the bottom of my list this time, but they probably won't be there next time. And going down back, well, I guess up the list, the Nets, they're the second worst. They'd be number 13. Then I'd have to go with the Bucks after that. They're 7-18, and then I got to go with your Cavs, 9-17. So what's that? 4 of them? 1, 2.
That's 4 of them. 4, yeah.
And then the next one after that, I'll say the Sixers, 12-20.
Okay, you know, I've got one little shuffle in there. I've got myself probably behind the Bucks at this point, just based on roster.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got myself at the 12 spot with the Bucks at 11. I've got the Sixers at 10. Like I said, the rest goes in order, but then I'll start my next. We'll just go 9 through 1 here just to pump these out. I've got Macon and the Pacers at 9. I've got Ryle and the Wizards at 8. I've actually got you and the Magic at 7 with the Celtics at 6. Honestly, I could have gone a tie here. Technically, it would have been a fifth place tie, because I think the Blazers and BBJ are right there. And the Blazers, even though they've got a great record and BBJ's a great player, I think he's a little one-dimensional on offense. I think it's very much post-driven, although he's got shooters like Wesley Matthews and those guys. I think it's very post-driven. If you shut down the post, if you have the bigs to do that, he kind of falters. After that, I've got the Knicks and Blaza. Gosh, I'm not going to get adjusted to that. But I've got the Knicks and Blaza. And then 3-2-1 goes Thunder, Heat, Lakers. Lakers, Bucks fan, man, you mollywopped me. So I got to put you at number 1 after the trashing you gave me. So that's my power rankings right there.
Mine are almost identical. You know, working backwards, it's the same. I got Pacers, Wizards, then my Magic, and then the Celtics. I'm gonna put flip flop Knicks and Blazers. I've got Knicks coming in. The Blazers, they are a little one dimensional, but that one dimension is badass. I played him. I have Dwight Howard, who can almost block any shot that someone puts up in front of him, and LaMarcus Aldridge continued to post up fadeaway right over his hand and make them all. So he gets a bump in my book for that one. And so then after that, we've got the top three. I have the same Thunder, Lakers, Heat, but I think I'm going to put the Thunder at the top. They are on a tear. They're six. They've won six of their last seven. So Thunder number one. Lakers 2, Heat 3.
Oh, if you remember, the demise of Mike and the Thunder was Kevin Durant scoring. And he's got Kevin Durant scoring right now, much like he did in the early season in the baseline last startup. So if he can keep Kevin Durant hot, I think he definitely goes to the top of the list just based on the defensive matchups that not only they can present on offense, but on defense too. That's their, in video game land and in real life, they're the biggest matchup problem for any team in the NBA outside of maybe the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But after the power rankings, let's get into a little bit of our award ceremony here and who's cleaned up some of these Player of the Week and Player of the Month so far. I don't know if you know this, Bond, but we're only 10-week awards into the season. And out west, only five teams have been represented. The Thunder, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Thunder, Lakers, Clippers, Blazers, and the fifth. I feel like that damn politician that forgot his shit at the debate.
Memphis,
there you go.
Zach Randolph squeaked in there week three.
Yeah, but how do you explain this dominance out west between these five teams?
The funny thing is, with the Lakers, they've got four of them, and by three different players. Kobe twice, Powell Gasol once, and Mark Gasol once, so... You know, he's not just, you know, dominating with one guy. He's doing it all around. And then Portland did it twice with Aldridge, who I can understand after he killed me. And that was probably the week I played him. And then he did it with Greg Oden. So figure that one out. But he's doing something right out there.
Well, Greg Oden is the individual leader in rebounds per game so far this season. But those Player of the Week awards, they equate – I don't know if the game does this or if it's how the NBA does it, but it only makes sense that players who win the most Player of the Weeks would be the Player of the Month. And we had a November Player of the Month announced in January, oddly enough, and those two were John Wall and Kobe Bryant. No surprise here. Both had fantastic Novembers. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing who gets it in December with all the mixed bag we've seen. Well, insert Laker here, insert Blazer here out west. But in the East, I think John Wall may have himself locked up another Player of the Month award.
Yeah, he might. He's got two Player of the Weeks in December, or, you know, one of them's last week of November, first week of December. So I don't know exactly how they calculate that. And I'm a little surprised that it hasn't already been announced that we're on January 9th now, and we still don't have a December Player of the Month. But if not John Wall, you know, there's a toss-up. It could be LeBron, could be D-Wade, could be Derrick Rose, one of those three. But Wall's got a pretty good shot to get it again for the second month in a row.
Definitely. And, hey, I lied in the beginning. I said two new segments, three new segments. We're going to play a game here, Bond. I know you like playing games, so we're going to play a little Contender or Pretender, another ripoff of SportsCenter and ESPN's finest work out there. I got three names here. And I want you to tell me Contender or Pretender. So we're going to start off with Bucks. Bucks fan 047, or like I said, now he's known as simply Bucks. Contender or Pretender?
He's Contender times two. Just by the last segment, with all those Players of the Week every week, he's definitely a Contender. He knows what he's doing with those Lakers.
All right. The Kobe, the Gasols, and he makes Matt Barnes look good. So all that is just too much for any team to handle. And how about Macon Propel? You got him as a Contender or Pretender?
Well, he beat me today, so he's a Contender up to this point. He's doing well with what he's got there. Roy Hibbert was scoring on me, so he's got some weapons there between David West, Granger, Paul George. Collison is lightning quick, you know, until I don't see him slowing down, really. He's a contender.
Well, as Lee Corso says, not so fast, my friend. He traded Paul George to Houston to acquire Kevin Martin. And then because of that and because of his early season tough breaks that have him at a losing record right now, I've got him as a pretender. I think he got rid of probably the best piece on his team. Paul George, a 21-year-old freak of nature that can shoot the ball and dunk it like nobody's business and then defend you like he's the next version of Bruce Bowen. I mean, this guy is a freak athlete that I would have given up Danny Granger before I'd have given up Paul George, but that's just me. I've got him as a pretender.
I don't know how I forgot it, because Kevin Martin lit me up today for about 8 three-pointers, so I should have remembered that one. But, you know, if he can keep doing that, he might be a contender.
Possibly. And let's go. God, you know, I love BBJ. He's a great guy. He's one of the West Coast guys with me. I hate to keep harping on him, but let's go BBJ, and I'll start it off. Because of the one-dimensional thing, I've got him as a pretender. Possible first-round exit. That's just me.
Yeah, he's kind of on the cusp with me. He's good at what he does. Obviously, he torched me with it with Aldridge. I mean, Aldridge could get hurt. There's a lot of question there. I'm not ready to commit to calling him a contender just yet. But he did beat me, so I'll give him props for that.
So you're kind of on the fence here, Bond. You got to get off it for me.
All right. I'm going to go pretender. I gave the other two contenders. I can't go with clean sweep. Somebody's got to be a pretender. It's going to be BBJ.
Oh, I'm sure he's not going to like us by the time he listens to this one. But the final segment of this week's episode of Pick and Pop, and again, brand new segment. It's going to be the pick and pop call out, you know. When you're running down the court, you know, your floor general, you call out a play. Well, this is going to be a call out in another sense where we call out an individual user. Bond, did you pick a user that you're going to call out this week?
Yep. I'm going to call out Z-Car to quit requesting so many damn trades. he's trying to switch his whole – the poor guy wanted the Bobcats. He thought they were going to be taken. So he took the Bucks. Turns out the Bobcats were opening. He's trying to trade the whole team. The trade committee's trying to sift through everything. Slow down a little bit. Let us catch up.
You know, it's times like this where Bond and I should really meet pre-game or pre-podcast, because I think he's looking at my notes here, because that's the exact same thing I wrote down in my jump sheet. Z-Car, we don't mean to jump on you, buddy. We know we love you. You've been a great addition to the podcast, but you're dealing with two members of the trade committee here, and you're making us work like dogs. I mean, I've got Blaza blowing me up on PM saying, get on Skype, we need your opinion now. And mostly Z-Car, it's your trades. It's yours or BBJ's. Let's not forget BBJ, but slow down, guys. We need to process these trades. We know it takes about a full game week to process them once we give them the okay, but trust me, once we're done with it, it'll be well worth the wait. And Z-Car, the Milwaukee Bobcats can't happen soon enough if I'm concerned.
He did get his wish, and he got Kemba Walker, so maybe it'll slow down now.
Maybe. And I put in here in my notes, as the great Sherry O'Terry on SNL once said, simmer down now. But that will do it for this week's episode of Pick and Pop, the debut episode of Pick and Pop, replacing that show that used to be called The Three-Man Weave. We'll be back maybe next week, maybe in 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm starting school this week. Shit's about to get crazy, just like it is in the baseline, just like it is in the NBA. For Bonsai 007, Bonsai, whatever the fuck your name is, I'm JFace907. Let's have a good season.
See ya.